This is the OCML Podcast.
Enjoy local music.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the OCML Podcast. This is John Safaro, your host, and today we have episode 50, number 8, and we are here with a special guest, Doug Ferguson from the band Dreams of Vertigo.
Yo, hey. Yo.
How's it going, Doug?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Oh, great. And so we're also joined with Dominic.
Hello, hello.
Chad Martini again,
Finally,
back on the podcast. And then we have another OCML newbie to introduce to you. Mark, why don't you introduce yourself and how you found us and how this all came to be.
Okay, cool. So my name is Mark Berman, and I guess I just got brought on as like a writer in general, like content person, I suppose. I haven't really done anything yet, but I'm currently I got brought up because I'm a journalism student in Long Beach, and I wrote a blog for one of my classes about one of your like Acoustic Tuesday shows. I showed it to you guys, you liked it, and now I'm here.
That's right.
Hey, sometimes it's all it takes. Go out and do something, and good things happen.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a success story in the making.
Yep.
So, Doug, tell us a little bit about Dreams of Vertigo. Your background in the music industry, what you do outside of the band. And
As you were just saying about 30 seconds ago, I am the band.
The other members love it when you say that.
I'm just kidding. I'm not even a quarter of the band. We've been doing Dreams of Vertigo for, I always tell people the band really kind of started when Brandon and Gons joined the band, which was 2014, I want to say. So 3 years-ish. And we started basically because I was in another band, a really, really, really bad metal band. I shouldn't say that. We were really good, but I just, you know, there was lots of conflicts within the band. But anyway, I was in.
Yes, you should, because the band is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, post Doug. Maybe when it was pre Doug. Maybe when Doug was there, it wasn't that good. I don't know.
It's funny. I quit the band and like. A week later, the entire band just disbanded. I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
I must be
that
really
happens.
Good.
Yeah.
I apparently was the band.
You were the centerpiece. Yeah,
I was.
They can't go on without you.
No, I was. But I was in a situation where I just, I didn't feel like I was given the creative freedom that I wanted to. It was like I would go to practice and, you know, the drummer would tell me what to sing. The guitarist would tell me, you know, what to do, what to think. And I was just like, that's just not my thing, you know. And so I started Dreams of Vertigo and, kind of with the ideals it was, you know, yes, it was quote unquote my band. But, you know, we were just going to write whatever the hell we wanted to write and do whatever the hell we wanted to do. And we've been doing that for a couple of years. Done a couple slide bars. OCML has been awesome and hooked us up with some House of Blues shows.
Yeah.
And, So whoop, we've whoop. Been kind of doing that for a while.
I like that because, you know, we were wondering what topic we were going to touch on. And, you know, I always avoid it. But we're going to talk about pay to play. Because Doug's
here.
Here
it comes.
Okay.
I have a very...
pay to play.
There's just the pay to play on top.
Yeah.
Of
let me stretch out.
Well,
before
because
we get
when
to
you were saying
or...
where, you know, when you were like, hey, where did the band, you know, what year was it? 2014. I was like, yeah, it's about when we started. And one of your first songs was Pay to Play.
Right.
The fucking is what it's called.
Right.
And you guys reached out to us, and I mean, that's why you ended up getting that House of Blues main stage
right.
Friday night paid opportunity,
yeah.
Is because you guys were like the number one band that outwardly advocated, you know, the hashtag end pay to play. So I want to ask you, why do we say, you know, hashtag end pay to play?
I mean, for me, so I'm on both ends. I've booked shows for bands, and I'm in a band, so. You know, I've been on both ends, and I know that there's so many – there's great promoters out there, you know, and some of those promoters still do pay-to-play, which is something that I'm very, very against, but that's a completely different topic. My thing for me when I'm booking a show, I've booked shows with national acts that have a rider that's just – would blow your mind. And I've done every one of those shows without making any of the bands pay-to-play. You know, and every one of those bands got paid. Every one of the opening bands got paid. The headliner got paid. a ton of people showed up, and not one of the bands came to me and was like, well, hey, we only sold 4 tickets, you know. So for me, pay to play is for a lot of people, for a lot of promoters, quote unquote promoters. I always say quote unquote promoters.
They're coordinators. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Continue.
There you go.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know, back in the day, it was like, you know, a promoter would approach you on, let's say, MySpace, which I know is totally dating myself. But they'd be like, hey,
ooh,
do you want to play?
Doug's ancient.
I know. I am.
Be on
I
your am. Top 8 right there.
Exactly.
Okay. No, this was pre-top 8,
oh,
bro.
Yeah.
It was top 4 at that
top
point.
Four, it was yeah. a pre-top 8.
Okay, I'm
See,
really
I'm
only 12,
about this
so let's go with that. Let's say Promoter X approaches you, right, on your Facebook, and they're like, hey, do you guys want to play it? Let's say Chain Reaction, right, which is a you know, one of my quote-unquote favorite places. I have to say quote-unquote because, you know, anyway.
Yeah, let's put
sarcasm doesn't necessarily translate when you talk to Doug because very monotone.
So my thing was, you know, these promoters were approaching us, and they were like, hey, do you want to play a show typically on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, whatever it was, you know, 7 o'clock slot, and you had to sell 50 tickets, right?
Yeah.
And one day I called whoever the owner was or whoever the, you know, main booker was of, let's say, Chain Reaction. I was like, you know, if I wanted to book Chain Reaction and I just wanted to give you the money, how much would it cost, right? They told me how much it was going to cost, and then I did the math, and I'm like, okay, these promoters are taking a good minimum $300 from each band. They're paying, you know, the quote-unquote bar, which Chain doesn't have a bar, obviously. So they're paying the concession stand. They're paying the sound guy, who's usually just sitting there on Snapchat the entire time, not really paying attention to the band. And, you
Damn
know,
Snapchat.
Just, yeah, just the cost of
guys.
Whatever it costs to run the venue from day to day. And they're pocketing those extra, let's be modest and say, $300 from each band. And really, they're not doing anything. They're, you
no,
know, putting it
all.
On their Facebook, maybe. Putting it on the website, maybe.
I've not promoting. I've never seen it.
Yeah,
never promoting
right.
on their own actual social media.
So my thing was like, that's the easiest way to make money really quickly, right? And I was like, I could do that. I actually was in a crossroads once, and I wasn't in a band. I wasn't doing any sort of business thing, and some guy came to me. He said, you know, you could work for, I don't know if it was Chain, but let's say it was Chain. You can work for Chain. You're going to make, you know, $1,000 a day. I was like, fuck, yeah. What do I have to do? Well, you have to make the band sell 50 tickets, right? Well, usually with the show on a Tuesday at Chain, there's maybe 20 people there, you know? And that's if there's a big, big band, you know, that's playing, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on what Chain area you're talking about.
Right
now, yeah, maybe 20 right. people. I used to go back, you know, this is over a decade ago, so, you know, again, with that dating yourself, right?
Oh, but, yeah, John's you know, old.
Oh, my God, he's like, ancient.
I got more gray hair than you, and I'm younger than you,
yes,
so, you know,
weird,
fuck me.
Right?
But,
I keep trying.
Yeah, hey, but at the end of the day, like, Chain on a Tuesday or whatever the fuck day
it is.
Was sold the fuck out
right.
because there was nowhere
back in the
else
day.
To, yeah, because there was nowhere else to go.
Right.
The internet hadn't ruined shit yet.
Right.
There was no smartphones.
Yeah.
And people needed a place to go for all ages shows in Orange County, and Chain was like the only place.
Right.
You know?
Which is not the case anymore.
No, it's not. You have the Constellation Room. You have the Parish at the,
right.
at the House of Blues. Like, you have, there's like that Out of the Park Pizza or Parks and whatever the hell
yeah.
they call it now. Like, that's an option as well. Like, there's plenty of places, and then you mix in the, you know, the programs and the
which
yeah,
is,
Beatnik Banditos and all that.
Which is really funny because there's so many places that you can go, but there's less people that do
well,
go to shows nowadays.
Well,
to local shows.
Well,
right.
I mean, there's
I mean?
Less people that go to all kinds of shows right now. You know,
right.
there's shows that I go that I can buy tickets to the day of that, you know, 5 years ago it would have been sold out the day of, you know. So,
right.
like, I just went to Bayside not that long ago at
nice.
The Observatory for their 10-year
right.
of the Walking Wounded tour, and I bought a ticket at the door that
yeah.
would have never been possible pre-smartphone. Like,
right,
I swear
exactly.
to God, right? Like, there's no way, you know? Without people being able to live the concert from home, like,
yeah.
there's no way that I would have been able to buy that ticket the day of. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of goes, you know, going back to, you know, the subject here, which is pay to play, you know...
And Doug.
And, well, you know, they're kind of one and the same, you know? Doug's like the anti-pay-to-play guy. Like, if Yeah, I'm not
we had
that.
We had that.
I was about to say something. I shouldn't say. So we move on from that. But
we had the pay to play song on the compilation that we had.
Was that the first? That was the first one, right?
The very first compilation.
Yeah. Hey, let's throw that back. If anybody is looking for some good free music that you can go download like albums at a time, you can go to radsampler.bandcamp.com. And with our friends in Rad from Fresno, we have like five or six different sampler CDs over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
That have just a bunch of awesome local music from all over Southern California. And it's free.
Get a taste.
Yeah, go grab that. Radsampler.bandcamp.com. Don't forget it because those samplers are rad.
They
That's
really
good
were.
Stuff there. Pun intended. They were rad. All pun intended.
Yeah, we got that pun, huh?
Pun intended.
Let me, Doug, let me ask you this question. You said this good point about being on both sides, right? You're an artist, you're a promoter. Are there, just to paint a scene, right? We're going to get to solutions and all that. Are there any benefits to pay to play, or where does this mindset come out of? Like, what is the basis of justifying it, or are there any benefits to it?
So, I mean, there's lots of people who. I have lots of friends that are in bands that do pay-to-play shows, right? And their kind of mindset is like, okay, well, you know, if I play a couple of these shows where I'm doing pay-to-play, you know, that kind of puts me up the ladder, and eventually that promoter is going to,
you got
know,
that cash? Come on now. Step on up.
Eventually, that promoter is going to book me with Green Day, which is obviously not going to happen.
The only thing that promoter is going to do is eventually stop charging you because he knows that you can sell 100 fucking tickets.
Right, exactly. So my thing is, you know, and that's one mindset. That's one mindset. But here's my thing. From the perspective of somebody that's in a band, if you're playing a show and the promoter wants you to bring, let's say, 40 people, right?
Right.
And you're going to bring 40 people consistently – right, to your shows, shouldn't you be rewarded in some way of that? Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, I get $1,000 for every show that I bring 40 people. Like, that's not what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, my point is, if you're bringing 40 people, you're bringing in those $400 essentially to the venue,
plus
however
bar
much
sales.
Yeah, plus whatever they're going to drink.
Right.
You know, so that mentality just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, if you're going to bring those $400 worth of ticket sales in, why should you not see something from it? You know,
and the
difference is, so there's pre-sale and there's pay to play. Now, we've done some pre-sale shows. Pre-sale, you know, we just did a show with Sponge back in September, right? And it was like they gave us 100 tickets to sell, but it wasn't like one of those things where if we brought 3 people, we had to pay them back for the remaining 97 tickets. It was just we got paid a percentage for every single ticket.
Right. There's not the obligation, though, or you don't have to meet the certain quota.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, so that's the difference. You just did that with us at the Monster Mash as well.
Right. Exactly.
And you know,
By the way, great set. It was awesome.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. The Ninja Turtles and then Doug, who only wore a t-shirt. If you go on the OCML Facebook page, you see these great photos of a band that like
did the whole onesie
and everything.
And then Scott, fucking Doug, is just in a t-shirt and jeans. Scott from the Alienated, he wasn't in a Ninja Turtle suit either.
But he wasn't a part of the band.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the whole band was like full on committed to the costume, and Doug just had the t-shirt and the eye mask and then jeans.
Well, he was feeling lonely, so he brought
Scott up. It's funny because we decided to do that about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days before. We were like, we should probably just dress up in a costume.
Well,
right?
I got to tell you, your band outdid you real
quick.
Oh, my
God. Like, so what happened is I ordered it on Amazon. I get it the day before, and they shipped me like it was like a giant baby costume.
What?
I was like, this is not the costume at all.
How did they know that they were sending it to you?
So I had to improvise. I bought a shirt and I was like, all right, this is good enough. So that was me.
Oh, man. Dude, that makes sense. So at least then you had the shirt on top of it.
I had the shirt.
So that means that you actually put more effort into it. It just didn't look like it.
Yeah.
So. That's pretty funny.
And I did color my hair green, but I bought it at Dollar Tree, so like the green was already gone by the time I got on stage.
There's a reason it was at Dollar Tree. It was like 3 years expired from a real store.
Exactly.
Straight discount. Get that for a dollar.
I still have green on my arm, which is weird because I didn't touch it on my arm. So whatever.
But yeah, you know, you mentioned something about just, you know, bands having to sell 50 tickets. Rent is a Tuesday, and there's really only 20 people there. And so you think about it, and you're like, well, wait a minute. They had seven people on this show, like seven different acts on this show.
Right.
And they undoubtedly said, you know, 40 or 50 to all of them. Right. So even 40 times seven is more people than even Chain Reaction's capacity is. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
So it, like, that to me should like just literally be illegal. You can't sell more tickets than the capacity of.
Because what if all those people showed
exactly, up? Exactly right. the one chance that the pay to play promoter actually booked bands that could draw.
Uh-huh. Like, not, oh no, we weren't prepared for this.
Yeah. We didn't expect you to actually get these tickets out there.
Oh my god, I know how to shut them down, guys. We just have to we have to sell all the tickets and call the fire marshal.
Yeah, just flood them with audiences.
God, we just picked these guys off Bandcamp. I didn't expect them to actually like have friends.
This is what goes down in a pay-to-play promoters meeting. They're like, okay, who's brand new that hasn't played a show yet that's eager to play a show? Yeah. Oh, that guy. Here's the same message to 20 different profiles.
I've gotten
exactly what happened.
I've gotten that message. Yeah. I know you've gotten that message. Oh,
dude, I've gotten that message.
I've gotten that message probably 10 times.
That message you mean saying what? Just... saying,
less than a paragraph. It's less than a paragraph.
I have a show for you, or I'm actually looking for someone to hop on a show if you want to hop on.
Okay, yeah, just like a solicitation.
A little solicitation, a little copy-paste.
Copy-paste to everybody they can find.
You have to sell 50 tickets or 20
tickets. They say it all in the first thing, too. They're like, hey,
right when they send
wondering if you'd like to sell 40 tickets to play this Thursday at Chain Reaction, and it's like Monday, and you're like, well, you want me to sell 40 tickets in three fucking days?
Yeah.
Right. Like, they're just hitting up bands, like trying to fill a slot. Yeah.
And now I digress a little bit there. This is what it's become now. This is not what it used to be like when OCML started doing what we're doing.
Right.
When we started doing what it was doing, it was the status quo, per se, of the normal business relations in Southern California of a promoter and promoter venue band. And, you know, again, as a music fan, that's like what I saw happening with a few people I knew in bands. And like,
John doesn't play any music.
Why am I? Well, it was like, I came from a fan. I'm the best skin flute player in the fucking land. Don't believe it. But you weren't expecting that, bitch.
He's got technique.
Oh!
He's got that five-finger technique over there.
But I was going to shows. Like, I've been going to local shows my whole life, right? And they used to cost me $7.
Yeah,
and then within, like, 3 years, the local shows that I was going to went from $7 to $12.
Right.
And the talent level of the music literally dropped more than I can actually say on air and feel good about myself. Like, it was just horrendous that I'm sitting at this show, like, for this one band, and then the rest of the bands don't sound like them. They're completely different genres. They can't even sing a key. It's like, where did you find these people? Did you find them in a rehearsal studio? Like, they probably don't even have a Facebook page yet.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I just have to say, like, I'm relating to all this conversation on like a spiritual level, and I've been waiting for the chance to talk about, like, when the exact same thing happened to me, like all the red flags that you've talked about with PayPlay, like over the course of, you know, because I've
been listening. You feel it in your soul.
Yes, exactly.
Run like, from
I've
them.
I've been like raising my
fist. We knew he was one
of us. but yeah, it just happened like 2 days after I put up this dinky little covers EP on Bandcamp, like all of a sudden, like this guy emailed me, just like saying, he was a big fan or something like that, which I knew I should take that
your
as a
music,
plug
bro. Come sell these tickets for me.
I love that music. Can you do 50 tickets?
I love that distortion effect that you put through your music software and nothing else.
Yeah,
amazing. But anyway, right. So there was maybe 3 weeks. In advance or something, I knew I should have taken it as a red flag because one, the promoter wasn't at the show, and granted, you know, they probably work for a bunch of people. He's saying like, oh, he just like works like down in like Mexico or something like that, which okay, you know, I can see how that kind of thing might happen. But the act like right before me, it was like a singer and an acoustic guitar, and they were playing like Green Day covers or something, and they were literally out of sync with each other, and it was at that and it wasn't like something that they like caught on. Mid song, so it's like at that point I was like, okay, there clearly isn't any kind of qualification here.
Yeah,
no, there is a qualification, Mark. The qualification is that you sign on the line that is dotted that you are down to pay $400 or $500 to fucking go
basically
up there
and then see you
glorified
the
talent show.
Great set.
They didn't even stay.
Yeah,
because they're driving off in their BMW because they just made $300 off.
Wait. It's not that they didn't even stay. It's that they didn't even show up, like Mark was saying.
Yeah.
The promoter wasn't even at the damn show. And it's just like, it's like one of the biggest scams I'd ever seen, right? And so that's literally why OCML got started, was because, like, we and me, Kevin and I were, like, music fans, and we wanted to, like, help the bands be able to be bands.
That's right.
Because, like,
put my superhero cape on.
Most people can barely pay rent as is right now. Yeah. So, like, nobody should be paying to have stage time. Like, that's what you pay, you know, $12, $20 per rehearsal, you know? Yeah.
So, and what happened with me, actually, is that, so I was getting desperate. And I don't, I'm kind of an introvert. I don't have that many. Like, when I was joking about not having friends, like, I was mostly a self-deprecating thing. Yeah, raising your fist there in solidarity there.
yeah, self-deprecation.
Yay, radio.
Crippling loneliness. Yeah.
Welcome
to Earth. Did I peek it there? Yeah. So anyway, I was like desperately going around like everyone I know, you know, trying to at that point, like I had to sell like 50 tickets and I sold like maybe five or something. And at that point, like I was getting desperate. Like I was just selling downloads of my EP, the EP of original stuff I dropped a couple years ago, which that promoter probably didn't even know about. So at that point, you know, after all of that, and there was like 3 weeks in advance, it wasn't like the 3 days before, but you know, still doesn't make it any better. At the end, I still had to shell out like $120. I think my mom might have had to help with a little bit. It was pretty embarrassing, but the show went decently. But even then, like,
It's not worth it. You know, I would rather spend that extra $120 for something else. You know, to
you know,
help
I'd rather
band.
Go to fucking Disneyland for that $120, even though it's not worth that. But you know, like, geez, like,
it buy some new drumsticks.
Yeah, it's got to really
buy some new strings.
Hey, okay, so I'm gonna throw this to Dominic, and I want your take on it from the artist and the artist development standpoint of like just what you see in this climate right now.
Yeah, from the artist development of like the record label perspective as a developing representative, I'm trying to find young bands that need the aid to get where they want to go, and they just get jumped over by these bands that are not necessarily nearly as talented or capable who have the money to play. More often than not, there are these working age bands. How many do we see these like middle-aged bands that just have the money because they have jobs, right? As opposed to a band full of, you know, teenagers or like college kids that are actually good that need the development, they don't get the opportunity to play these stages. Yeah. So we see that the effect it has. Doug, I know you mentioned a venue, right? A prolific venue that's been doing this for years. What effect do you see that pay to play is having on the venues, right, and the fan experience?
You know, I've actually noticed over the last, you know, let's call it a year, that pay to play is around, you know,
right,
but it's not as massive now as it was 5-6 years ago, you know what I mean? Now that being said, there's still promoters that are trying to get you to sell tickets for, you know, I've actually had people approach me knowing that I was doing a show with OCML, right? That was
I like where this is going.
Anti pay to play show. I think I told you, John, about this. We were playing an anti pay to play show. OCML's competitors. They approached us and they were like, hey, do you want to play at Slide Bar 2 days before? Slide Bar is a free venue. It's an awesome place.
I was there last night, actually.
Yeah. It's a really cool place. Yeah. But every one of those shows there are free. So these guys were approaching us and they're like, do you guys want to play at Slide Bar? You know, you only have to sell 40 tickets, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
whoa.
First of all, it's a free venue. You know, second of all, you're only approaching me because you know how much I hate you guys. And, you know.
This provided a lot of comedy in my life. A little bit of backstory. This was an end pay-to-play show that we had.
Yeah.
And we had it at Malone's, which is where a lot of pay-to-play happens. We made the flyer, and show. David killed the flyer, and he made it a couple of like TNT jar barrels, with a timer on it that had the date, and it said end pay to play festival or whatever. Right. And we actually got a call. We teamed up with TSE for that show, and we got a call from the venue owner saying that we needed to change the flyer because it made some of her other promoters upset.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And, defamation. Drawn to us,
and that for me was the biggest win that we had up until that point in time. And so all we did was put the word "censored" over anti-pay-to-play rally, so you can still tell what it said. And it was just like it made me really happy.
That was great.
But that was actually the first time I ever got on stage with a microphone because Dreams of Vertigo caught me and like got me up there to sing.
We
some whoa, but.
We kind of have a tradition where we just drag people on stage, so. It's usually the guys from the Alienated, but
yeah, you know,
John was there,
happens
so
to be
why
me.
Not, you know.
But anyways, I want to thank you for coming by, Doug. It's,
yeah.
It's been fun having you on the show. It's probably a little overdue, but you know, we didn't start having an artist until last
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have a new thing that we're going to be doing here starting this week right now. As we lead out, we're going to play a song from a local artist that we think that you should check out. So, again, thank you guys for your attention. We're here every Monday. Tune in next week. And coming up right now is Alive and Well with No yeah. Winter in the West. Check us out at OCML.us, and you know the rest. Peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Winter's coming and my body knows. I brace for impact, try to let it show. I brought the cold parts here with me from the east. I don't wanna do this anymore.
Bands on stage and online at OCML.us.
Enjoy local music.